Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. And this is our 383 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Shaharon or Mykumpty using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And before we start, I want to thank James from North Wales, Pennsylvania for sending Historicity Productions $20 so we can maintain all our hours on the web. And a few days ago on the site statistics, I saw someone must have been in there recording every one of the hours were listened to. And some of the hours were at two or three, but everyone. So, hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Welcome back to another recording about what's really amazing they don't talk about or say anything on the news. Oh, they don't want to get anyone upset that have celestials in our neighborhood. Boy, that would get people to buy telescopes.
Yeah. Well, they're also walking around among us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another thing. In disguise. You know, I mean, remember I talked about seeing the people hung up on the wall, you know, like there were people, but it's really their suit. It's a human suit. You know, you know, I said I could wander around the ship and take a look, but don't go in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But I peeked into it, and, you know, what I could see from my vantage point was this, what looked like a person hung up on the wall, you know. And I said, oh, my goodness, you know, we've got people hanging on the walls
here. Are you going to be next?
Yeah. That's it. Oh, no. And I came out, and there's Nella. She's on ECL 1. She's looking at me. She said, you looked in the room, didn't you? I said, yeah. She said, go in the room and take a good look around. So then I went in the room and took a little good look around, and there were space suits in there. Did you think that Ted and Nella would need spacesuits? But they apparently do. Mm. Yeah, and it looks just like, you know, spacesuits, you know, pressure suits, you know, with a helmet and everything. Yeah. Mm. But they also had a human suit. That's for them to walk around on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a little big, you know, hint. Basically, they don't, you know, if you draw the right conclusions in your mind, they won't correct you, you know. But like when, an example would be like, I asked about what was the New Jerusalem and that place made out of, you know, this huge space station or architectural sphere or grand mothership of all motherships. And they said, made out of crystals. And then I had this picture of looking at crystals, you know, the big crystals. And they said, no, no, smaller. In my mind, I kept imagining quartz, you know, an array of quartz crystals or something. Anyway, they corrected me. So if I had the right idea and then they didn't correct me on that, yeah. That's what we used to walk around on Earth among the people. And if you think they got pretty high technology, that's taking it pretty high, you know, as far as being able to fool somebody, including
dogs. Yeah, putting a suit on, right?
Yeah, including dogs or dogs, let's say. You know, they walk right next to a dog, they'll go like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's another guy. Maybe Smith, some smell is... smell, and they go, wow, that's...
So they really can even fool dogs.
Yeah, uh-huh, I would say so. I don't believe all of them, you know, but those that are with have technologies like that that are very, very advanced, you know. I mean, and, you know, coming very near to lifelike, you know. Mm-hmm. Although they cannot, but they admittedly cannot create life. They can carry life, you know, you can make it transplant, but they can't create it. They can, you know, simulate life, they can manipulate life, but they can't, out of a domain of, say, of ideal elements, the desert, like atmosphere, there's nothing there. Let's say there's nothing, no life, just elements, you know, and basically dirt. You could create life out of that. No, they can't. They have to transplant it, you know. Hmm. Even if it comes basically at a very primal stage, you know. Hmm. That is one of the interesting things of the phenomena of life. That's why they're bodysuits. I'm not sure what fits in there, you know. Is it their body or is it their consciousness? Hmm. I suspect that it's their consciousness, their person, their who they are, their personality. And if you were to say their soul, which is, you know, indestructible, but yet transplantable, that may very well be the case.
Did these human suits also have faces? That
oh yeah, definitely. Oh. That's what scared me the most was the face was like a dead person, you know, just eyes closed, you know, head hanging down.
Well, they were off.
They were all they were just limp, you know, like a, you know, just hanging on a hook, you know. It's like, wow. Anyway, that's, I must have turned white or something, you know, because the way Nella looked at me, she said, you looked in the room, didn't you?
yeah, she knew where you looked.
Yeah, but I didn't go in the room. She said not to go in the room. But then after I looked in the room, then she said, you looked in there. I think she purposely knew that I was going to look in there. Mm-hmm. But I walked around. It was a circular thing, you know. I started in one direction, ended up where I started. And there were rooms. And nothing especially interesting except that one room. I wanted to find the engine room, but I couldn't find it. You know, it was like, where is it, you know?
I mean,
my wife, when she was speaking with Dad, they were in the center of the ship, and there was a beam of, you know, of light that came out of, so like a column of light that came out of the center. And then she was going to look into it. Look, where is that coming from? She leaned over, was about to look in there, and then Tan goes and pulls her back and says, don't look in there. And then, you know, further description of other people who have been in ships operationally, talk about that the center column within the ship, especially a disc-shaped one, has this energy component where light beam in the middle. Apparently, it works with coherent light, and it just starts a whole reaction, and energetically. Interestingly enough, I did come back with a supposition that the ships were able to manipulate space-time, as that's why they could move at a speed that was higher in velocity than the speed of light, but also they could, you know, displace or transplace and put themselves in a different position. But that also required time shifts. So I thought that they were transdimensional people. Transdimensional meaning they could easily move between higher dimensions. And higher dimensions are very real. It's been tried to be taught to us from the early days, from very early days. And I always think about looking at temples. And temples give you an indication. And, of course, the temples that I often refer back to are the pagoda temples, you know, the one with, like, stacked up houses. And they pile up usually about seven high. And the first four areas below the first housing are where we can access. And that's four levels usually, which is our three dimensions plus time. And then we can walk around in that first level. And then any level above that really doesn't have a public access. It has a, you know, access for a maintenance man or whatever, a priest or whatever, could go inside of it. And it's really just a figure of architecture trying to teach us something about higher dimensional places and where we are. And we still are stuck here in a three-dimensional plus one time, four-dimensional world, yet we can peer into the higher dimensions. And that's one another thing that's interesting, is that when you go into these temples that try to teach you or just sort of remind you, that's why they always kind of go in an ascending order. They kind of allow you to walk higher or see higher rooms or domains. So that is some of the things that we're left here with hints to look into higher dimensional properties. And that indeed is our inheritance to move up in dimension. But we must shed some of it because like perhaps Tan or Nella or any of the other who are capable of moving their consciousness, their soul, into another body, you know, for convenience, I guess, to be able to walk around in our planet and not be recognized. That's something that they are, you know, quite capable of doing. This is another thing that that hint of seeing a human suit. Put on a human suit and go walk around. It's a pretty interesting concept, but apparently one that they do. And it does verify that if we ascend to the point where we establish a true consciousness capable of transplant, then we will be able to be transplanted into other physical forms, physical bodies. We have something like 500 different ones waiting for us on a higher level eventually if we choose to ascend to that point.
500 different kind of bodies we can ascend into?
Yeah. They're part of what was it? Forgot the number, but it's in the Urantia book. And it really is a reminder of or is it 50? 500 or 50? I think maybe it was the lower number, 50. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the progress is that way. You actually just use them up one at a time. And each one helps you progress until you become a full spirit, you know. And that full spiritual being is able to remain in higher dimensional form or descend all the way to the lowest level, which is the first physical level. Hmm. Yeah.
So these 50 different bodies that you can ascend in, these are human bodies or what kind of?
They're, first of all, material bodies, but the material basis material. Is, Yeah, it's not composed of the limited elements that we have in our present domain. I was introduced to Morantia materials by looking at the Morantia plant. And that Dano, my company, was able to explain to me that it's made out of material not found on Earth. And that's, of course, when I replied the dumb statement, "You mean like plastic?" You know, but and he went, oh, shook his head, oh, he's going to get it later on. But anyway, you know, we can disappoint our mentors or teachers up there. Sometimes this guy's a little lame. He didn't quite catch on. I said, material's not found on Earth, you know. That means it's not found there, and plastic is. Even if it's, you know, I was trying to differentiate between
natural things,
natural and man-made, you know. Yeah, but it is a type of Morantia material is a higher dimensional material. You know, so it has elements in it that we cannot really explain until we experience it. You know, it's easier to experience than to explain.
It's higher material.
Higher dimensional material, yeah. It is indestructible in a sense, immutable, but it can become or be as life, but on a higher plane. So that is something that we look at a beautiful rose bush, and it's in full bloom. And we say, wow, that's a beautiful, you know, rose bush. It's got, you know, beautiful flowers on it. But when we look at those beautiful flowers, they're just static somewhat. And we don't see them moving around real quick, except, you know, by the wind. And maybe if we take slow motion, or extremely, not slow motion, but you know, when they get still frame stuff, they take a little at a time. You can sort of see the plant does move very slowly, but you need, you know, to capture that motion. But in real time, a Morantia material plant does have the capability of moving very much, a lot. And also having a luminescence that is beautiful, part of the Morantia material, giving off light energy. Light that we can see. And I'm sure there is even more light that we cannot see. And that is something that is perhaps, you know, part of our limitations, because wasn't necessary to visualize that which we don't see here on planet Earth, Morantia, as an everyday thing. So our eyes are not set up for that. But what we can view, or what I was able to view, was absolutely beautiful in terms of its color, its vibrancy. And if I did look used to it, you begin to be able to see in the Morantia realm, and that would be extended the spiritual capability. I guess you would call it spiritual, because it's in a higher level ability. And you can experience some of it, but it's hard to describe. But it's vibrant, it's full of life. And that is the key difference. The level of its liveliness is so much higher. It's like light dancing. Like you ever see, take a good close look at a rainbow. And depending upon the rain and stuff, we see the light changing, the rainbow changes shape. It sort of goes away, comes back, and it sort of changes its spectrum. The bands of color change their width, and it takes a long time to happen, you know, to observe it. It's not like really, really easy to see. You got to sort of study it. Well, in terms of that comparison, it is like that being sped up 1,000 times. So you see this vibrant light changes, and that's radiances that are happening right before your eyes. And it is beautiful. And that is Morantia light, Morantia radiance. And it's enlivened. It's the light is full of life, is what I would say. Mm-hmm. And no wonder it is a base material to create higher life forms that never die. It's beyond deterioration, corruption or deterioration. Yeah. So that is something that maybe as descending suns or ascending suns or eventually discover this capability of this higher realm of material and having it not being light, but is material and that is able to radiate light. So that's why spend enough time there and you kind of breathe the gas, which is part of the atmosphere in there, to be with Morantians, is that you end up having some of it cling to you. And that's where, I was observed by my dad, and he was so, 5-10 minutes, he's observing me. It's like a phenomenon. There's an electronics engineer. He was a civil engineer, but he was electronics also. And we, of course, would have many of the glowing gas, and some of the old diodes were what called mercury vapor diodes. And they glow blue, and they sort of had that bluish glow. like a mercury vapor rectifier of the old-fashioned mercury vapor rectifier. And he's looking at me and says, "Stand over there? No, move over there." No. And it's like, whoa.
You mean you were glowing a bit?
Yeah.
Like that?
I was.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was something he observed, and he felt that it was very special. He didn't know how to explain it. But that was his son, so what can he say, Except his son kind of came back a little crazy talking about Jesus Christ a lot, Anyway, that ended up becoming a very central point in my discussions later on with him, how important it was to awaken to the fact that he didn't just don't place Jesus Christ in the religion, pile of religion, religious people, or icons. He's much more than that, And as it is described many times in common Christianity, is a savior, and actually did save not just Earth but the whole system of planetary system, that could possibly grow to a number of about 1,000 planets. Right now we're still substandard, but eventually we will, and our contributions from this point forward could very well contribute to a planetary system that is of unique makeup of people. Yeah, so that dimensional shift is something that seeing these human bodies hung on the wall or human suits open my consciousness up to be able to accept a lot of that. And this was on the way, not coming back. So on the way I had all of this stuff breaking into my realization. What am I going to see in this place? Where they come from? And just one big talk about cramming a lot of experience into me at the time.
Well, that's so these human suits. So there, so there was more than one hanging on the wall. You said there were quite a few.
Not quite a few. There were, in my recollection, there were two.
Oh, two.
Ooh, yeah.
And they were both suits of men?
Humans, yeah. Human beings.
Men or women human beings?
Well, the one I studied had it was a masculine, yeah.
Okay.
And he wasn't young. You know, sometimes people say they always got to be young. Mm-hmm. You're like 30 years old looking. Mm-hmm. It sort of looked like, you know, give him 10 more years, you know. Sort of toward the middle age. But not really middle age. So anyway, that's some of the ways they can disguise themselves. They don't have to be like the Bible said. They were young. These angels were looking like young people, you know. No, so they don't have to be looking like a young person.
Do you remember if you saw hooks that were empty, like those human suits are down on Earth, and there's only two up there left? In other words, were there other hooks that would hold them? And
oh no, they were all
like they were all in use.
All in use, yeah. There were no spaces for more. You know, in a ship. You talk about being. You came from the Navy, right? Mm-hmm. So everything has its place, doesn't it, on a ship?
Yes.
No different with them. In a spaceship, everything has its place. The only thing they had extra was seats. They had more than was necessary for me, you know. In fact, I was sitting down and there were a whole bunch of empty seats, you know. Yeah. So where's the rest of the gang? Oh, they're capable of having more people, but they take them with them.
So this morontial material, you said it had a glow to it, or it was illuminated some, a little bit?
Well, yes. Well, it was the morontial material of the plant.
Of the plant.
That bush. And that's very much akin to what Moses described as the burning, or is described biblically as the burning bush. The bush that burned and wasn't consumed. Yeah. I don't know why they used that, but
so if Moses was saying that, was he saying that about a bush here on planet Earth?
Yeah, it was outside of the spaceship, you know, where he received the Ten Commandments. He said, take off your sandals, and then you can walk over there because you're on holy ground. Well, that's when he entered the ship. And when I was up in the New Jerusalem, I was barefooted. You know, and I thought that was so, you know, wow. This is like in Hawaii we have Japanese house, you know, where you go in the house, make sure you take off your shoes before you walk in the house. Mm-hmm. Kind of insult the landlord, you know, or the host.
Yes, or the house.
Yeah, did you get to use that that concept here? And when you're here in Hawaii, you have to take off your shoes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't take off your shoes, they'd say, you just get off the ship?
Yeah. Well, that's the case it was. So, mm-hmm. It was barefoot. Moses had to take off his shoes before he stepped on holy ground, which was probably close to the deck of the ship. The Morontia plant was out there in front of it. First level, first level, so that meant there was only one Marantia plant in front of it. In the classroom environments, there were like one, two, three, it went all up to seven, I think. And they represented the class level that you were looking into. So I peeked into the higher ones, and they included people of different sorts until finally the highest ones were just one group of people that were looking in. And they stopped the class when I was kind of peering in. They were doing a type of, how would you say, kind of role-playing, situational role-playing. And I thought, oh, wow. And a lot of that is what we go through in living here with each other on planet, and go through many of those things with each other. And can learn a lot of that stuff right here in our lives right now. So we can get a real big head start by just living a good life, filling it not with useless stuff, you know, but filling it with good experience, mm-hmm. Worthwhile experiences.
Hmm. Yeah, the Marantia realm, that's what you're able to see into. Tell me more about that.
Well, the Marantia realm means that not only that it's a domain which accepts our position in the lower realm. In other words, it's not a clean-cut division. People often who have near-death experiences cannot come back with a description of the Marantia realm that is interfacing with our life experience now. It's clean cut. They are away from the spiritual aspect. I mean, they're cleanly cut off on the physical aspect. They are now really in the spiritual realm, and they're experiencing the Marantia from in a spiritual realm. So much of it should be from that perspective. When you listen to what I experience, it is the physical experiencing the Marantia realm, but there is a crossover. In other words, there is a positional crossover that can be agreed upon. Much of what has been described as the people who have gone through near death, seeing the plants and the beauty of the plants and the living, breathing gardens that move about distinctly. They are very much like experiencing the same viewpoint, but from their spiritual or disembodied perspective. But it is a blending, a place where that is blended over, kind of like a palette of artists sort of blending over colors and distinctly from his imagination onto the physical work of his palette and brush. One of the things that they always say that reminds me is being distinctly a clear-cut move over is that they talk about how the plants were much more lively, were like, you know, people were friends, and you know, they danced, and that's true. Yeah. Huh.
The plants were more lively.
Yeah, like I said, they danced, you know, and waved, and doing the hula. I said that the close thing that I got from the type of dance they were doing was like the hula, which is solo dance, you know. And you kind of, the arms wave and move around, gesturing in a very fluid manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more fluid, you know, the hula dancers, the more skillful they are.
Yeah, that's teaching little girls the hula.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to grow up in Hawaii and know the hula.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, not to change things, but Art Bell.
Yeah, he died.
You heard he died. He passed away last week.
Yeah, he was a heavy smoker.
Mm.
And he, you know, had COPD, I guess. Couldn't breathe.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
You can't breathe. It puts a tremendous strain on your heart because the heart says, I got to pump this blood around. And it's,
and
there's a
there's
oxygen. A monitor. Yeah, we have a sensory, you know, ability in our neck, the blood going up to our brain. That is monitored for the oxygen level, believe it or not. And if our blood isn't oxygenated enough, it'll increase the blood pressure, you know. You know, you squeeze more, you know, air into this poor guy. He's like not getting enough air.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what happens is they end up with a very heavily taxed heart. You know, it's really overworked. Then they kind of like putter out.
I forget how I did it, but I got Riley an interview with Art Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, send us a book. Okay, I sent him a book. And then just before the show, oh, we can't find the book. Send another book. But you got to send it overnight mail. Well, that's right. That's even more expensive. But I'd send it overnight mail. And then Riley called me just before the recording was supposed to take place. Not the recording, but the live show. And he calls and says, well, he was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, it was canceled, huh? Riley would have been a very interesting interview. He's been on Coast to Coast 3 or 4 times. And, but I guess Art didn't like the picture of Riley in there. That's what I thought anyway. Couldn't think of any other reason why you wouldn't want to have him on the show. But, you know, some people have a limit to who they want to have on. They just didn't want to have Riley. So that's too bad. So Art Bell passed away, and he did a lot for bringing a lot of awareness to supernatural and near-death experience, and all kinds of things, UFOs. But he was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to know Art Bell. I tried to track him down because ham radio, I first heard this guy operating on what we call 80 meters. That was one of his favorite hangouts. And I hear this guy talking, and he seems to talk a little bit, go away, talk a little bit. I said, this guy sounds like a professional.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a, ham radio operator, you know. He's chatting away and he's got this really nicely modulated radio voice. And I said, oh. And somebody said, hey, Art, forgot what his call was, but he's talking ham radio. And he says, you know, I heard you on the coast to coast. And then, but you in ham radio, you can't, you know, do too much chat concerning other commercial programs or anything. You can talk about and even the news, you're not supposed to talk about too much. And anyway, I got enough information. I said, coast to coast. I wonder where. I looked it up on the internet, and there it was. Then I listened, and I said, you know, I'm being pressed into, you know, go find Art Bell, find this guy, and then get to listen to Riley Martin, but not because Art Bell. I was being introduced, he's being interviewed by somebody else. And then when I heard Riley talk about things, and I said, this guy, of all the people I hear on all these types of shows, this guy, Riley Martin, I know he knows something, he really knows something, because I know what he's talking about exactly. Mm-hmm. And turns out that I decided to go, you know, look him up, and even made a comment on something one time, and he acknowledged my comment on the other radio show. And then it is one thing led to another, and this is where we come up, where we at today. Mm-hmm. It's not as if it wasn't orchestrated, because I distinctly know that I was basically guided or pressured toward doing this, you know. Yeah. Hmm. And that is to give the introduction, because eventually, you know, like I say, they'll be walking among us, with us, and they're already doing that now, kind of incognito. But eventually, it'll be much more open. But we need a good population of people who are not going to get freaked out. Yeah, so the readiness for that acceptance is being gauged right now by various events around the world. Can't force it on the human population. Our planet has almost 7 billion people, you know. So, mm-hmm. lot to stampede, you know. He stampedes 7 billion humans.
Where are they going to go if they want to go somewhere?
Into each other. Let's crash into each other, you know. That's what would happen. So we don't want that to happen.
So do you think that's what would happen? They would just, most people would, what they call, freak out, that if they're not the only human being in the solar system?
Oh, yeah. It's getting a lot more comforting to, you know, people realizing that just mathematically it's not possible to, you know, be the only one. Well, of course, you know, the whole universe revolved around the Vatican at one time. Yeah. And if you built a telescope and said that's not the case, you got thrown into prison. Who was that now? Thrown into a prison because he could... said that
Kepler?
Well, Kepler wasn't the guy, but
he was ridiculed.
But before him,
we should know.
Yeah, but I always forget because I'm on a different
plane.
You know, thinking, so that's not it's not related to planet Earth. Anyway, that's okay. So anyway, that's That's a bit of Morancha. Hope. You know, that's our inheritance ahead of us. You know, not this material that we are living with right now, organic material, but Morancha material. That's our real inheritance to step into the eternal stuff.
When you say the Morancha material or crystals, would you call it crystal dust?
The crystal material is crystal material, and I think a lot of it is based on calcium. It's very one of the most common materials in the world, stone in the universe. So calcium in different forms. We can look at calcium in terms of a pearl, a precious pearl. But also our bones, you know, I mean, our bones when they're alive are extremely strong. You know, break a bone, I mean, you go through some of the falls and tumbles that we can go through, and then you realize how well made we are, you know, in terms of ability to take a tumble. Mm-hmm. Monkey fall out of a tree, he wants to get up and walk away, you know.
So this crystal material, is this just the Morancha crystal material?
It's not Morancha. It is regular material.
It's regular material, but isn't it alive?
It has elements of that can be seen. I believe Linda Moulton Howe had some material given to her that was bismuth, you know, layered bismuth. And bismuth is a common material, but has electrical properties. But the way it was constructed was what was shown to me layer by layer. And, you know, they showed it to me in terms of the sculpture that this man was making, but he wasn't using bismuth. I think he was using more like a calcium material because it had a pearlescent a bit. It looked iridescent, you know, like a pearl. That's where the pearly gates come from. In fact, people, they got to see that, brought back that image in their experiences. Saints of old. Who wrote it down. And that layering is something that is used. And I couldn't quite understand how they could make the ship continually grow, the New Jerusalem continually grow. And I think it was much smaller at one time, but over the thousands of years that have passed since it started here, it's just been growing continuously. And they show me the rooms that are continuously being built for habitation. And they showed me an unfinished one. And they said the next one will be right next to it. They said, where's the space? Well, it just grows in there and then it just, you know, gets bigger. And that's the whole ship enlarges as it goes through growth. You know, so I mean, like a tree grows, it says, sort of, but a tree has instructions that are given to it from inside of it, you know, like the cellular instruction, the set, the DNA and all that. But the structural design comes from outside to design the growth and expansion of the ship, but it's never stopped growing. So it's got a lot of space in it.
And for us to grow, we need food. What is this? What is the New Jerusalem? How does it? Where does this material come from?
They mentioned to me that where they are positioned out there by Saturn is one of the most ideal places to gather base material. It's got a lot of water. The rings of Saturn are, but you know, a lot of water. And it's part of their byproduct of energy generation is water. And some of the energy is electrical, and some of the energy is something that we haven't yet discovered. In fact, a majority of that energy. So that's it, you know. So like our bodies are organic, we have some electrical energy, probably that which powers our nervous system. And the other energy is chemical energy, you know. Our muscles function under that biochemical reactions. Muscles have particular fibers in them that respond to calcium and the other one would be calcium and what plant was that high in? Well, you know, it just skips my mind. I'm just thinking on a different level. It's not, my thoughts are on a, memories are on a different shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Potassium, yeah. I went to the muscle shelf. Potassium fires and contract and relax, contract, relax. Potassium, relax, calcium, contract. A particular muscle fiber. So that's the we can understand a lot about our biochemical properties and the functions of cellular, and look into all the different reactions. You go to school and learn all of that stuff. Then you forget it pretty much because you know, you end up not using it every day. Sort of like language, a foreign language.
So the location of the New Jerusalem is really spot, yeah. Really there near Saturn, so we can get its natural resources. Wouldn't it move closer toward the sun and move closer toward Earth when they want to be noticed more?
Probably, it definitely would be noticed a lot more the closer they are. But it's not time yet, because the Bible describes the Apostle John being able to witness after the time of 1,000-year reign, where the teachers would come. Not a whole lot of them, the high teachers, you know, like at the level of Mike Comte, you know. Danos, and then they have assists, low, a little bit lower teachers, and finally getting down to teachers that are at the human level. But when the world, whole world is enlightened and really understands a lot about what they experience, you know, enlightenment is what I am right now. I am an enlightened person, but truly enlightened by the light of, you know, experiencing, you know, not this kind of specially given knowledge that is detached from real experience, real physical experience. It's try to put some traction to our life. And that the New Jerusalem will dock with Earth. And it will be very, very large. But because it will have anti-gravity, it won't crash into our planet. It'll have its own, of course, propulsion. And will have its own, you know, levitation. And could easily float just over the planet and not unbalance our planet. So eventually it will. and Earth as a space station, a developmental sphere of human life. Divine sons, the birthplace of many divine sons, many sons of God, many billions of sons of God who come from our planet.
Many billions of sons of God.
Yeah. Jesus Christ being the first born among many. That's the base scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, Google it, Jesus Christ being the first born among many brethren. That's the idea. So that nature of Christ, which comes from his own spirit, the spirit of truth, which basically ignites the thought adjuster in us, awakens the thought adjuster, actually awakens our consciousness to be able to, you might say, relate to. It's not that's not the only way it happens, but it's definitely one that allows every man to find it, even those that are of non-Christian faiths or dismiss or Christ as anything special other than a prophet. He did function in the office of a prophet, so we cannot deny that he was a prophet. But as far as the Son of God concept, he said God doesn't have any sons, denies them that access of developing themselves into the sonship, the divine destiny that is open to every human being. And eternal life is only the acquirement of the sonship. If one acquires divinity, we will live forever. And it is offered freely. Mm. Yeah, because that's the purpose of life. Life's purpose was not to cut us short or to give us, you know, it's sort of like a guy who got, you know, ice cream. Here, have a little taste of my ice cream. And he says, wow, can I have one? No. But the purpose of it was so they could share it. And then he says, can I have one? Sure, you can have a whole truckload of these. By the way, they cost 10 cents a piece. Yeah.
So the purpose of life is to share it.
Yeah. To share our life.
To share our
really, life. Yeah, one with another. Yeah. And if it requires that, you know, there be some exchange, like a dime for a, you know, and you, that's what you do. You spend your 10 cents as a kid and get yourself your own ice cream bar. If you don't, well, you go find a way to get it. Then you find, wow, if I just mow that lawn, I have a lot of ice cream bars. But anyway, that's all part of the game.
Well, that the Marancho material and the Marancho plant, that's just...
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's sort of the wrong way, because people think of a plant that just sits there and blows in the wind. Mm-hmm. But it does the hula. It appreciates one looking upon it. It has a type of consciousness and life in it. I was feeling a little sorry for the plant for a while. You know, I said, well, you're stuck in that pot and you can't go nowhere. It didn't care at all. You know, that's what it was. Yeah.
It was happy.
Yeah, it was happy. Exactly. That's a good word. Simple mm-hmm. word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's the journey today. Hope
that's
you
the journey today. Yeah, it was nice. That was nice. Well, yeah, you were talking about rainbows, and I remember when I was in Hawaii and we were going from the windward side. We were going from the windward side over to the Honolulu side, and there was just this double rainbow that just followed us all the way. I'm in the back seat of the car, and I'm not driving, and I'm just watching the whole way. And so we got to where we were going over in Honolulu, and I thought, well, let me just go outside and look. And I went outside, and there was the rainbow to my right, big, wide, huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get everyone to come on outside and take a look.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't need to go outside. We've seen rainbows before. Well, rainbows are magical. Okay, well, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Talk to you then. Okay.
Have a rainbow do the hula for you. Aloha.
Aloha, Michael.